Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:49, we continue with CLTV joining us at 9. This is show number 999. Show 1000 Monday from the Blackhawks store, Blackhawks home opener, and every Hawks game. The good times start again next Thursday. Hope you've got some of the exhibition action here, but John and Troy will have the call for all of it. Happy to see and welcome into the studio, Darren LaHood, congressman from the 18th, home to see his family and do his laundry before he heads back after a busy week in Washington. As a matter of fact, before I say hi to Darren, Jake, do you have that Steve Scalise sound from yesterday? This is the House Majority Whip, Steve Scalise, who was nearly killed when that assassin went to the softball practice or the baseball practice prior to the big charity baseball game in Congress and opened fire. Here's what it sounded like when Scalise came back to work yesterday.
I will tell you, it gave me an unbelievable sense of calm, knowing that at that point it was in God's hands. But I prayed for very specific things. And I will tell you, pretty much every one of those prayers was answered. And they were some pretty challenging prayers I was putting in God's hands. But he really did deliver for me and my family, and it just gives you that renewed faith in understanding that the power of prayer is something that you just cannot underestimate. So I'm definitely a living example that miracles really do happen.
And that was the more gentle applause of several rounds of applause and standing ovation yesterday. I know you haven't had a chance to know Scalise for long, but what was that like?
You know, it was a really emotional and amazing day in the House to have Steve come back. You know, June 14th, he was gunned down on the baseball field, Steve, in a tragic accident. Many people thought he wouldn't live. He had to have a tourniquet put on his leg. And to have him walk back into the House with two canes with his wife was really an astonishing feat. And
he looks amazing.
Yeah. You know,
I was very surprised. Did you guys know he was coming?
We just got word that morning that he was going to make it back.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't know in what form, how it was going to be. But to see him walk in there was just an amazing. And his speech, I thought, was excellent. And
sure.
It was a real moving experience.
We don't know what his work schedule will be going forward, but I know it's inspirational to have him back in the House. And it reminded me sort of the McCain moment when McCain came back after his surgery in the Senate because of the battle that he's involved with. But it does create... our friend Willie Geist mentioned this morning, these bursts of cooperation between the parties that we need more of.
Yeah, if you saw the bipartisan support yesterday in the chamber, there was a lot of people crying on both sides of the aisle. But Steve is a fighter. It was, you know, a great moment for the House. And let's hope we can capitalize on that and try to get some stuff done.
Now, I know you're not a member of the Trump White House team, but did you want to admit the millions of dollars in private flights you've taken this morning? How about that story?
Really disappointing to see that, particularly when the president ran on, criticizing many of these things and really the lack of transparency and the lack of government accountability. All of these people should be taken to task on it. And using taxpayer money to fly, particularly on private events, is, really disconcerting.
Yeah, you know, it's well documented the problems I have with the president, but I don't expect the president to sit around and monitor the behavior of the Health and Human Services Secretary so that he doesn't steal money from the taxpayers. What Tom Price has done is ridiculous, and largely because he held up the other party to say, how dare you? And made his name on the fact that he was the anti-pork guy. He was the guy that was going to make sure taxpayers' dollars weren't wasted. What was he thinking?
I think this is what makes people, very cynical of Washington, D.C. when they see stuff like this go on. And you got to hold people accountable for it. That's the bottom line.
I don't think he stays in the job. We'll see. Of course, you got to find somebody that wants a job now. It's a little rough. I want to talk about what you're doing, what you want to talk about to your folks in the 18th. And downstaters as well, and get into a little bit of what's happening this week, including, if you got anything you can make us feel better about North Korea, that'd be great too.
Just had a classified briefing last week from Director Coates from the from the intelligence service, and also General Mattis and General Dumfries, and I think there's concern there, you know, I think we got to be very, very careful about the collateral damage that could be done in South Korea when you have a capital in Seoul that's 90 miles away where you have 20 million people. You know, I hope the president listens to the smart, bright people around him on this issue, because we got to continue to put pressure on China, work on negotiation. I think the UN resolution that we unanimously passed 2 weeks ago
right.
that puts more pressure is a good thing. But we got to be real careful about engaging in military activity over there, because there's 500,000 Americans that live in Seoul. We have a base over there, and there'll be a large loss of life if we engage in military action.
Instantly.
How about Puerto Rico? I mean, I know the administration, well, Congress in general criticized for the lack of the quickness of the response. Now the supplies are getting there. Thoughts on the aftermath and the cleanup now?
Well, we got to treat Puerto Rico like we did Harvey and we did Irma in Florida. And I just spoke with Marco Rubio this week. He was down there. I think you're going to see an effort by the House next week to put together a package to make sure that we take care of Puerto Rico the same way we do everybody else here in the United States. That doesn't mean a blank check to rebuild the country, but helping people from a humanitarian standpoint, we have to do that.
Do you have any sense of how fast that could happen?
I think we'll have something in the House towards the end of next week. I think they're trying to put the figures on how much money they need at this point. And it may be something that we do a staggered approach where we give them a few billion right. dollars next week, and then we see what they need a couple weeks after that.
The great concern is how the money is spent, because the government of Puerto Rico, and they have a new governor who seems to be trying to do the right thing, but a huge financial problem. And you don't just throw money at a mess like this. It's got to be directed, and it's got to be a team. We got to get the military on the ground there. The military always handles this stuff.
Yeah, we have to have transparency and government accountability, Steve. They're $72 billion in debt in a country of 3.5 million people. I mean, they have systemic problems financially. Right. This is not going to be a bailout that fixes their systemic problems. It's helping people get back on their feet and get the country going again.
Yeah, they're Americans.
Yeah.
It's our time to go in and do the right thing and save them. What's this tax plan going to be?
Tax plan rolled out this week. You know, we have not had comprehensive tax reform in this country since 1986.
Right.
So we rolled it out this week. If you think about it, the corporate and business tax rate, whether you're a mom and pop shop in Peoria, Illinois, or you're Boeing here in Chicago, pay about 35-36%. By way of comparison, Ireland has a tax rate 14%, England's at 17%, Canada's at 22%. What we do is bring those rates down to 20% to make us competitive. If you look at comprehensive tax reform, if we do this the right way, it will help generate jobs and economic opportunities for everybody.
How do you pay for it?
How do you pay for it? Great question. You know, we're $20 trillion in debt.
Right.
So you got to figure out how you pay for that. And, you know, we're going to get rid of a lot of these loopholes. There's lots of lobbyists that are going to be upset in Washington, D.C., because we're going to close a lot of loopholes. What we say is, you bring that rate down to 20%, you're going to benefit, but you're not going to get all the little carve-outs that you've had for 20 or 30 years that have been put in the tax code. Nobody can defend the tax code as we have it now. If we do this the right way, Steve, we will help create jobs and economic opportunities. We haven't had a growth rate at 3 or 4% since about 1999 or 2000.
Right.
If you get a growth rate at that level, it helps all of us.
Yeah, because the Wall Street economy and the real people economy are two different things.
Absolutely.
The fact that the markets are roaring doesn't mean that everybody is getting theirs.
Yep. And we got to make sure there's about $2.5 trillion parked overseas by companies that, under our tax system, they put their profits. Apple, for instance, has $300 billion in Ireland, cash. We drop that rate. That money comes back. It's called repatriation.
Yeah.
What we say in the bill, you have to put that money back into wages, reinvestment, and
right.
to dividends.
Right.
That helps all of us.
Right. It'll take a while for all this to be pared down to an actual bill, and the target is to have it done by the end of the year. I don't know if that's realistic.
I think we'll have a vote in the House by Thanksgiving.
You do?
Well, yeah, I do. And I think we'll kick it over to the Senate by the end of the year. You know, I don't predict what happens in the Senate, but the clock is ticking. People are watching. We have an obligation to govern and fix problems.
And again, this isn't about Trump. This is about doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And before I let you go, in the 18th specifically, and for downstaters, what are you doing?
Well, we the ag economy is big downstate.
Sure.
So trade is very, very important for our corn and soybean farmers. You know, we've prices need to get higher. I think trade helps you do that. We have to continue to find ways to have open trade with, you know, we're 4% of the world's population. We have to create more trading opportunities around the world, whether that's in China, Southeast Asia, and those areas. So we got to continue to work on that for our farmers and the regulatory burden on our farmers also.
Yeah, and tell the president, would you, that trade matters to farmers? If he wants to continue to overeat, he's going to need farmers.
Yes.
Say hi to your dad.
I sure will, Steve.
And I'll let your cousin Pete McMurray know it's time to pull your car around.